Hello, this is Just Bill from Inner Child. This is my very first podcast. I hope you enjoy it. It's my words, my voice. Bye now.
I am the fruit. I am the fruit of the spirit of my ancestors. From the seed they planted in the gardens of their dreams, their hopes as they suffered and toiled, sweated and bled and cried to nourish their prayers for the day, their tomorrows, and our here and now. My soul has yearned to taste this fruit, this offering, for which so many sacrificed and died in the hot, balmy days of the fields, in the cold, dark nights of someone else's wilderness. We still made it through. With the hungry babies crying and no time for sighing, and our unwilling complying. For the Lord, He was trying, testing our mettle, testing our character, of our visions and of our pain. And I am the spirit of my ancestors. And that spirit is sweet. For I was planted and nurtured in the spirit of forgiveness. I am the spirit of love. May I honor this spirit with my character, my works, and my dreams. For my children's tomorrows with love. For in the fruit resides the seed, and I am the fruit. I am the fruit. Let me embrace this day. Let me awaken this day and embrace this breath that faithfully kept me through the night. I open my arms with the joys of life. I sing the praise as I celebrate the light. Let me awaken this day, let me know but good, as I continue my journey from the deep dark wood. Let me awaken this day with naught but a smile, a divinity of knowing I am but His child. Let me embrace this day with music and song, as I dance to this blessing all the day long. Let me embrace this day as I embrace you. My heart is my gift in all that I do. Let me embrace this day. Let me embrace this day. Let me embrace this day. Let us embrace this day together. Let us embrace this day.
There's a light in the window. There's a light in the window, beckoning me to come. Come on in from without of myself. So softly it whispers to my soul, drawing my desires to its warmth. There's a light in the window. Nay, not a sunlight bright. An embracing, nurturing light, that of a mother's breast, that I lay my head upon and listen to the heartbeat of prerequited love. There's a light in the window. It's smiling my name. Colors flowing into my head, filled with possibilities. Possibilities that I can. I am assured. Yes. There is a light in the window, whose sparkling luminescence is dancing upon the skin of my delusions, peeling me apart layer by layer, leaving me exposed and raw. Is it my truth? There's a light in the window, breathing my air, dripping with hope, that this may be the place of my reconciliation with the self. There's a light in the window with no barrier, no glass to pain me. Pain me or cut. Yes, I am quickened from sash to sew. I drop and pay homage to the light in the window. Yes, there's a light in the window. In the window, there's a light. There's a light.
A free thinker, but in truth, I am bound by the chains of indoctrination. All the things I dream or wish to become are set before me to fulfill some other ominous expectation. As I sit here in what I think to be contemplation or deliberation, I see myself immersed in social condemnation. But what can I cast dispersion upon? Myself, as I embrace my self-incrimination? My choices, albeit were and are a part of a menu offered, I did not realize I was in a box until I was told to think outside of it. Are the limits of the walls my delusions or illusions? What path I elect brings forth my reclusion as I struggle to forego life's illusions and pain? Am I insane or is it you? Informs me of my inane misalignment. And here I say, still I am a free thinker? Is it because I ask questions or make suggestions about the choices of our ingestions? Free thinker. And here I cling to these empty aspirations to be wealthy, to be healthy, to be wise, to rise to the top of the crop like the cream in this dream, to claim that prize, the apple of your eyes. I fall down, but I get up. my cup is still empty. Don't pity me. Pity yourself for your own spiritual health. Don't ask. Have a sip from my flask. For the task at hand is to understand my demands and the genesis of my synthesis of what is not real. Can you feel me? Feel me. See me. Hear me as I plead to be free, that I may gather my sanctity of reality this day of my way as a free thinker. There was a time I was not happy with myself, so I had a long, hard look at myself. I decided I needed to change myself. Most importantly, the image of myself. Especially the image I had of myself. So, I began the self-improvement of myself. So that I could be happy with myself. As I dug deeper within myself, I really started to find myself. When I really began to discover myself, I realized that it was quite difficult to change myself. Oh, for a little while, I fooled myself into believing I was someone other than myself. Then I realized I had to deal with myself. So I began to acknowledge myself. Then came the realization of myself. And then I accepted myself. I even came to like myself. Because I was stuck with myself? Or because I was blessed with myself? Maybe it was because I was encouraged by myself. Because I was loved by myself. Well, in the discovery of myself, I really found myself. My true self within myself. The true love of myself. And it resided.
You know, sometimes in life, we find ourselves struggling with ourselves. Many times in this struggle, we are the losers, and sometimes we're the winners. You know, in reflection of this paradigm, this dynamic of self, I wrote this piece that I wish to share with you. And it's titled, Self Turn. And here it goes. I have been accused. I have been tried. I have been convicted. I have been sentenced. I have been condemned. All by my own choosing. Self has turned on me. Self dimed me out. Why? I don't know. I trusted him with my life like a brother, just like he was my own, and he turned on me. I mean, we shared everything together. We were the same mind, the same heartbeat, the same breath. When you saw him, you saw me. We were inseparable. Or so I thought. Yes, self turned on me. Over the years, I have cared for him. I have fed him. We have dined at the finest restaurants, ate the most exotic foods, drank some of the finest wines together. I have nurtured him. I even gave in to his small, petty bullshit demands. I tolerated him. I clothed him. I even brushed his teeth and wiped his ass. I took him for walks, even though he did not really appreciate them. But I did it for his own good. Yes, we danced together. We sang together, played together. I took him shopping. I even allowed him to be wasteful and purchase so much shit we did not need nor want.
He did not appreciate my sacrifices many times, more times than none, and self turned on me. I have taken that asshole trader on vacations to exotic places, introduced him to women and good friends. I thought we were having fun together. I even taught him to try different things. Why, I even taught him to read and write and speak too. I have sat up long nights keeping his company, discussing all his vexations and foibles. When he was down on himself, it was I who picked him up, encouraged him, dusted him off. I supported him in every way I could. And this is how this ungrateful bastard repays me? Yes. Self has turned on me. Perhaps that is why they call him selfish, for it seems in the end all he does is care about himself. But what about me? I have shed tears for him, I have laughed with him, I even embraced his issues and his problems and his trials and tribulations as my own. Yes, I even shared his joys and his laughter and his smiles. When he was happy, I was happy. Wait until I see him. He is a superficial, self-delusional, self-justifying, self-edifying, self-praising, lazy, no good for nothing. Self has turned on me. No, wait. I cannot allow myself to go out like this. Me, I am a loving, I am kind. So I shall. I must forgive him for all of his transgressions, past, present, and those to come. For I am a loving God-created divine entity. I cannot grow as long as I embrace this attitude. If I come to hate, what would become of me? Perhaps I will just seek self out and sit in silence with him. Perhaps this is the time he really does need me. Perhaps he too is hurting and truly in need of a friend, a hug, a smile. Perhaps, I know we are truly brothers. Perhaps we are truly one. Yes. Let me reach out. Yes, though self has turned on me, I am encouraged. Yes, I am blessed. I can bring goodness to the situation. I can bring love. I can bring hope. I can bring joy, for I am. For when self turned on me, I said, for when self turned on me, I said, for when self turned on me, I turned on self. Yeah, I turned on self. And now, we shall come together in love of self. Yes. For when self, I said, for when self turned on me, when self turned on me, when self turned on me, my eyes have opened. Yes, when self turned on me, my eyes have been opened. And I shall turn on self.
repeated itself, turn, self, 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 turn, turn, self, oh, cause self turned, yes, self turned, yes, self turned, yes, self turned, oh my God, self turned to me.
And now,
hello everybody, and greetings. This is Bill. I'm here today to talk to you about the ninth letter in the alphabet. Yes, the letter I. So many times we take our index fingers and we point it to the center of our chest, and we proclaim I. Many times in our lives, we find or we perceive that the I that we are is separated from the greater I, the source of all things. So, today I'm going to share this poem that I wrote with you, and it's titled, simply, It Is I. Have a seat, take a listen, and allow me to share with you. Thank you. It is I. It is I who am the center. Yes, I am the axis of time. Past and future resides here with me. I am what allows this to exist within me. The destiny of my past melding within the confines of my eternal mind infinite. Despite the finite which we embrace in the face of the divine exponentialness of our beingness and seeingness of darkness and of lightness. Yes, it is I who am the center. Yes, I am the axis of my beliefs that become my works through my faith into my know that becomes my isness. Truth that is what I am. I have always been and shall always be. The creator of this dream, I deem real. Yes, I can feel my eye. It is I, yes, it is I who am the center. Yes, I am the axis where the convergence of all shadows seek the light. Or do they flee from me? That they may be a part of another dimension, held in suspension of the ether as we confer, to defer, to vacillate betwixt our lesser and our greater selves. Yes, 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 it is I who am the center. Yes, I am the axis on this seesaw that is flawed only in our thoughts as we seek what we have always sought, that within which is expanding
exponentially our love within, our beauty within, our grace within, our dreams and our hopes. Yes, it is I who am the center. Yes, I am the axis. I am the axis. It is I who am the center. Yes, I am the axis. It is I. It is I. It is the same I that resides in all things, that resides in you. It is I. This piece I am about to share with you is something dear to my spirit. In the background, you will hear the magnificent Oscar Peterson tickling your ivories. And the song that he's playing is called Appropriate. Heartstrings. What I will now offer to you is an expression of mine titled that they call jazz. I wanted to feel the vibe, yes, and I wanted to feel you. So I let myself go and got into the flow, and I became the scribe. Yes, my magic flows from my pen, and so I share this word with you. Let us purge all our self-doubt. Let our voices flow out like a river from our wells within. For music must be heard. Yes, the world needs the poetry of you. Now we can no longer be cool, but we must teach them our joy. As we let our souls speak the word. So, I say,
Bring us, my brother and sister, to bliss. Let the world have the best of you. To thyself be thee true. Give to life the gift of your soulful kiss that they call jazz.
Certainly. I am conducting this pertinent search for certainty, that I may come to terms with this hurt in me, a place where no sun shines or smiles exist, where the blossoms of understanding desist. And I know not why I cry inside like this. You see, I see, when I look across this landscape of humanity, I see a flourishing garden of insanity, and we profane our divinity. Oops, there goes another virginity, one who no longer believes in the goodness of their ability to conceive of a better life. Devoid of all this unnecessary strife. I look at the villages and what used to be communities immersed in wars and their fears, and I feel them, and I pray they feel me. Oh, the children's smiles suffer with an empty silence, for they are no longer vibrantly reflected in their expectations beyond the now, this now. Life has lost its colorful hues, and those who sit in the pews, do they really, truly give a damn? Man, yes ma'am, yes sir, yes, who is going to fix this collapsed bridge from bliss? This, yes, this is why I am conducting this pertinent search for certainty, that I may come to terms with this hurt in me. The more I look consciously across this landscape of humanity, there is a certain insanity that makes me ask, am I awake? Can it be? So I plead with myself, to myself, to please allow me to escape my nightmare. Please turn on the light of resolution to end this pollution of our higher states of being. Yes, yes, yes. I am conducting this pertinent search for certainty. Yes, that I may come to terms with this hurt in me. This hurt in me. This hurt in me. My brothers and sisters are hungry, diseased, and fearful, and woeful, and full of despair and anguish. And what dreams come to their spirits of continual torment and need. And I plead with you, as do they, this day, every day. Won't you help me? Please, won't you help me? Please, please help me with this pertinent search for certainty, that we may come to terms with this hurt in me, this hurt in you, this hurt in humanity, with love, with love, certainty.
Quiet. A quiet breath, a quiet thought, a quiet mind, waiting for the dawning of realization of the meaning of life, its toil, its suffering, its indifference betwixt the children. Discordance is the prevalent composition of this symphony, the music of our existence. The conductors are blinded by the misplaced and askew harmonies of objective selfishness. Pain merchants are plotting new rules to the game, or perhaps new games for all the unwilling, unconscious sleepers who are intoxicated by delusion and doctrines and tradition of variegated colors. We play absent-mindedly in the gardens of the absent-hearted, callously going through the motions of unanchored smiles and untethered dreams, eating the unleavened bread of sorrows. Yet still, we have a quiet breath, that we may breathe new life, a quiet thought, to bring forth resuscitations, a quiet mind, that we may spawn creation and we can reach back to a better now. Let us indwell in this stillness, become the genesis of change, dust off the lanterns that the light may permeate the darkness of the noise, cast aside the voices of chaos that rides the mounts of pride and ego. And let the power mongers open their eyes and look into the face of their demons and see fate's unwavering cosmic law of balance. And they will become enlightened. And we will all walk once again with one quiet breath, a quiet thought, a quiet mind of love. Deny me not. The eye of the Christ has come once again to anoint us. Will you embrace me in the garden and then deny me in the court, Peter? Do you know who I am and why I have come to you? Let us dance once again in the gardens of sweet expectations of the rapture. Let us capture but not embrace. Taste the essence of divine sweetness, and in our completeness, we shall know of the unfettered realm where all possibilities are spawned. And in the dawn of this new day, a new way, known way, is once again revealed, for that which has been concealed can no longer be hidden. Will you deny me, Peter? It is you who completes this circle of light, that all may see the glory. Will you deny me, my beloved one? I have given you the sword, the word, that you might smite the ear of those who hear not, and you have willingly done so. But I ask you, Peter, will you deny me? Deny yourself, your divinity, your truth, your essence of soul, as you have done so many times before? I beseech you, my brother, the door is opening that you may come into the room where thy solace resolves your anguish. Yes, the light is on. Gather thyself and thy tongue that yearns to utter the name of your truth. Will you deny me, Peter? The universal soul is stirring, preparing a place for you. Your seat has been empty much too long. Your task is nearly done. Will you deny me, Peter, this time? Will you cast the holy to perdition for the condition of comfort you seek? Let thy soul speak freely now. Embrace me in the depths of your love. Love unrequited, in spite of the darkness of illusion. Feel my lips upon that of thy name, and speak, my child, my brother, myself, my love. And dare not deny me. Deny me not, my beloved Peter. Deny not the I in thee. This thing. This thing. I know not what curious factors compel me to hold you in my thoughts each day, all day. I anticipate with longing each moment we share, whether it be in speech or your presence. I need to know not what drives and directs me to sit and exact this communication, revealing my inner self in such a manner.
I have long learned the incrimination of putting one's feelings into writing, but I care not. All too often, the things I desire to say, I lose courage to say, and the words melt away into the abysmal nothingness that abides within us all. All too often in life, there are moments and experiences that acquaint us with something or someone special that we do not comprehend. To not at least acknowledge that our souls have been touched, stirred, or moved is a sin against life itself. It is holding all that is dear in life in disdain. I, as we all do, know and understand the rules of man and social structure and its condemning nature for what it cannot accept, understand, or control. This thing is of a non-conforming nature within a structure that wishes to erect the edifices of its own greatness, only to pass into a time of history that used to be. This thing is timeless, universal, and cares not of the rules that are set upon the table before itself to abide by. This thing existed long before man could utter his desire for order and conformity. This thing fractures the rules by which we so vehemently deny ourselves and our divinity. This thing cares not save for the opportunity to share itself with another, unabashed, uninhibited, and unrestrained. This thing will either be our undoing or our salvation in this life. But in the infinite misunderstandings of our existence, this thing is all that there is. This thing is the mother of all that exists. It is the relationship between all living things, each of its own kind. As we develop in our consciousnesses, we come to understand and accept that we are all connected and interdependent, for all is one. I have encountered thee, and I aspire to thee to become one with thee. For this thing, I will suffer the indulgences of a finite society, for my cause is timeless. This thing has brought thee through many histories and lifetimes, and we shall go forth, for I and you are of service. Thou hast awakened in me this thing that has lied so dormant for too long. I acknowledge the grandeur of this thing I have found in thee, for this thing is love. Take my wings and be my butterfly. Let us dance across the sky, sowing hope's dreams for who wish to see a life of goodness come to be. Let us dance to the sacred song, the harmony of love that rights all wrong. Open thy heart and bear our light, and be the sun that vanquishes night. Let us speak the holy word, for it's been too long since we heard or touched or tasted the essence of truth held within eternity's youth. Let us come to know our sum, the 0 point from whence we're from. So, won't you be my butterfly, as one will dance across the sky? Take my wings.
And this piece is titled No Return by Mia Jang. And the piece I'm going to read is called Taking Time. Thank you.
I should have taken the time to tell you how much I love you so. Set aside some time for me before you had to go. But as my life goes forward, I let go of my regret. Within each beat of my heart, there you still live yet. So I'll take the time to remember all that you mean to me, and give this divine love to others that they too may one day see. To take the time, today and now, for tomorrow may never come. For every time we give our love, we increase our sum. So, I thank you for the yesterdays and this beauty I feel inside. For your loving light still shines brightly through all the tears I cried. So take the time, today and now, my friend, and share your loving heart with all. For that is where your magic is, when you answer this life's call. So take the time, today and now, my friend, and share your loving heart with all. For that is where your magic is, when you answer this life's call.
She looked at him through her pained eyes. She listened to his long, slow cry, became one with his suffering. She had no other notion. She embraced him within her deepest part. She gave him her life and all of her heart. From his anguish, no buffering. Devotion. She knew that night yielded to sunrise. She now has tears of joy in her cries. For through love, she has found life. For her, love was his ocean. And she surrendered. Devotion and surrender. Love, devotion and surrender. when I think of you. I am missing touching you as I did a million aeons ago when we had wings. Yes, you seem so far away, though you are here with me. And I listen to the song of remembrance as my soul does sing. A billion light years apart is nothing at all to me. For your luminescence, loving beauty, still resides in my light within, and I see. Yes, no reason for sorrow here, my dear. Nay, I shall never it embrace, for the grandeur of love's holy beauty is internally etched upon your face. So, I thank you so much for the fire of inspiration and the magnificence of elation I feel when I think of you. Yes, the resplendent joys of anticipation have long overcome any dismal thought, for you are all that I ever wished for, all that I ever sought. So I am dancing in the garden where the butterflies reflect their holy sun, and I observe the movement of stillness and the metamorphosis of the goodness I become. Like a child in the cosmic sandbox, I build my castles as I so deem, and with a smile and a holy tear, I actualize the dream where all of our essences is the all of what we be, as we shine brightly as one energy that all may clearly see when I think of you. When I think of you.
Through showers to see you, I'd be Love is the breath of all things. brilliance of the sun across the skies of all existence. Love is the soft night light of the stars and the moon that kisses mankind's aspirations. Yes, my love, I'm coming. I hear your soft, sweet whisperings. Yes, my love, I will take your hand as you take my heart. Feel my urgings of completion. Yes, my love, I'm here.
Thank you.
the sea to eternity. She offered him her womb, but he did not want to go that deep. He was not willing to explore her possibilities. All he wanted to do was plunder her gardens, to eat of the fruits and labor not. Yes, he wanted to give her his seed, but not fulfill her needs. He wanted no commitment to the possibilities of the situation. And her equations of happiness, again, went unfulfilled. In her dreams, she constantly tilled the soils of her hopes, only to have them despoiled in disdain of her pains. No one of her suitors seemed willing to be that suitable completion of the possibilities of her magic. She knew she was worthy, for she had a love unrequited that has never known the darkness of despair. Yet, each time these divisive thieves of dreams and visions stole a bit more of the air that she so desperately needed for her wings to work. You see, she was an angel of love, and all these walking dead could think of was the physical non-committal acts they could enact for a night's cessations, never realizing that their needs would never cease as well. And an empty shell of a man they would remain, as they would be compelled to forever be the zombies of the night, of ill-gotten plights, and their souls, yes, their souls, would suffer as it was for her, never realizing that there was a gift divine lying in front of them as she offered them her womb, the seed to eternity. Every Saturday, my son and I awakened that Saturday morning. The sun was bright. It was a lovely spring day. We brushed our teeth, washed our face, as we prepared for our weekly visit to the market. Needless to say, he was so excited. We both were. We dressed in a sort of reverent appreciation for life. A warm silence permeated the air, and we could hear our own hearts beating with anticipation. We exited the house that morning about 10 o'clock. The birds were singing while digging in the lush green lawns, looking for brunch, I guess, just as they did every Saturday morning when we went about our quest to the market. Yes. My son and I were on a mission. We had things to do, brown bags to fill with edible discoveries of the day. We jumped in the car, I turned the key, which cranked the engine, and my son, he asked me if he could drive. I smiled as I did every other Saturday, and I replied, "One day soon, son." He looked at me with a twinkle in his eye, and he said, "Okay, Daddy, cool." I chuckled as we buckled our seatbelts. We pulled out of the driveway. Many of our neighbors were busy mowing their lawns and such, tending their flower gardens, and all sorts of Saturday morning things. And this Saturday morning, just like every Saturday morning, he, my son, waved. And he said hello to them all and told everybody, "We are on our way to the mall." I softly looked at him in love, and I accepted his perspective in silence, as I do every Saturday. We arrived at the market, and he anxiously bounced in the car in the seat while I parked it. When we came to a stop, he hurriedly unbuckled his seatbelt, and I chuckled, for I felt his glee all in me. He quickly ran to the market ahead of me. You see, he had a routine, which was part of his joy, his life, his need.
and before I could plead with him to slow down, he was through the doors and into the store, seeking to satisfy his heart's wishes. And as I approached, he came back out again with a smile that had no end, and he exclaimed, "I know what I am going to buy Mommy." I smiled warmly, and before I could evoke the question, "What?" he spoke of such things in the bakery, like pastry with nuts and such. But today, he wanted to get cheesecake. Yes, cheesecake. Just as he does every Saturday. We both knew that that was her favorite. If she was here with us, she would savor it. And her favorite, of course, was strawberry. We went into the market to the bakery, as we did every Saturday. And John the baker came to the counter and said cheerily, with deliberate flattery, "How can I help you, young man?" And my son beamed in bright wonder, for John had acknowledged him as a growing equal, a man soon to be, one who could make valid decisions for himself and his mother. My son, he placed his order, and John lovingly wrapped it with a certain and knowing care. He put a special bow of string on it, as he did every Saturday morning. My son, he surveyed the package, took his order gingerly, and held it in the crest of his arms. He did not want his gift damaged. It was heartfully special to him. Well, we completed our errands in the market, and we went to the car where we parked it. We got into our seats, our mission complete. We buckled our seat belts, and we drove home. There was a hanging silence in the car at this time, as we both knew what was to come. We pulled into the driveway, exited the car, and entered the house with a prevalent awareness of each and every now laborious step we entered the kitchen. My son, he unwrapped the cheesecake and placed it on a plate, his mother's favorite plate, that which she loved as long as we could remember. We then sat at the table and we bowed our heads and offered a prayer. A prayer to Mommy, for Mommy was not here. She was in this world of the spirit, and the prayer we prayed was that she could hear it. Here's what we prayed. We prayed that cancer would never take another Mommy from a child. And though Mommy has been gone from us a while, we still felt her presence. The tears flowed within us and began to drip on the table. And with a knowing silence, we knew Mommy was not dead. We each grabbed a napkin and wiped our eyes, as we did each and every Saturday, and we realize just how much Mommy still means to us, and we gave thanks. And my son, the coming man, did understand something quite profound that grounded him, and that was that through it all, we must continue to answer the call every Saturday, every day, for Mommy, for God, for us. Love prevails every day, every Saturday, just like last week.
I know who he is. I am not the greatest poet that ever lived, but I know who he is, for I am but a syllable in the word that makes the poem called life, where all things rhyme divinely. Can you read me? I am not the greatest composer that ever lived, but I know who he is. For I am but a note in his divine symphony. Can you hear me? I am not the most masterful artist that ever lived, but I know who he is. For I am but one of the many pigments on the palette of life. Can you see my color? I am not the most loving heart that ever lived, but I know who he is. For he lives in my heart, and he loves me regardless. Can you feel me? I am not the best reflection of him. My wish is but to be a mirror of his way, that when you look at me, you see yourself, and thus see him. Him who loves us all, for are we not all his children? His word, his music, his art, for it is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. I know who he is. It was May of 2009. I found myself on the street corner of 8th and Market Streets in Philadelphia. It was 4 o'clock in the morning or so, and I was to meet my daughter, who was to pick me up, and we were on our way to a funeral in Maryland. The piece here is a reflection of that experience, where I saw the young girls at 4 o'clock in the morning with their backpacks walking the street, and this piece is titled Help Lizzie. The cabs were busy, and there was a girl named Lizzie looking for a free ride, walking the streets looking for treats, for her best friend, her mother, had died. She was lost and alone, a runaway from home, and a father she never knew. She did not understand just what was God's plan. Neither do I. Do you? She had lost all her hope. She was now doing dope, doing tricks to feed her vice. Sometimes Lizzie would cry and just wish that she would die. Yet she bore her cross like Christ. Lizzie was only 14, with no shoulder to lean, no mother, nor father, nor friend. If you should see her about, be a caring soul and reach out, and bring Lizzie's story to an end. Help Lizzie.
So many years, my inner child has been yearning to be free, as it is discerning why I will not let him come out to play. And I still feel this fire burning inside, while my inner child hides behind the curtains of my fear. And many a tear has been shed, and my inner child has bled his hopes for salvation from himself, from me, to be free from the delusions I embraced, and my divinity is defaced continually. The truth of it all, though my inner child has perhaps fallen, it still hears the calling of God to trust and come out to the gardens of life and play. What do you say? Won't you come out and play with me? I remember when all of me was a young child, before I was defiled by my thoughts and doubts. We danced and we sang with smiles and with laughter. Like all there ever was the happily hereafter. Has the last song been sung yet? I say thee nay, for it is time for us to play again, my friend, to rend the curtains that cloaks us from our better selves, our truths for certain, for many an inner child like you and I still does cry inside, and they are hurting for love. So love them. To be nurtured in the light of our holy, we must boldly step out into the sunshine once again and shine like the sons and daughters we are. We have come too far to let the dream of eternity go now. And though it may seem dismal at times, remember that creation is perfect, and we are the prefects of our existence. And where there is resistance, we must be insistent and claim our heritage. Now, not tomorrow or some distant age, but right now. Are you with me? Father has gifted me that we may. What do you say? Won't you come out and play? We cannot wait for some rapture to capture our better selves. We must reach out and extricate all of our doubt and teach each other thy sister and thy brother. Yes, we must honor our fathers and our mothers. We must trust that within each of us there is something greater than this world. We must open our eyes and realize that we are powerful